Today's podcast is brought to you by The Grace Curley Show. Listen daily before Howie Show. For station and times, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for The Howie Carr Show.
I don't think any of us has ever been accused of trying to have an insurrection or have called on violence, even if some violence happened days away from us.
Nothing any Democrat that I know of have ever said or acted in the way the President of the United States has acted.
Wait a tick. What's this?
Make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
That's embarrassing. Egg on my face.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What is happening with my Republican colleagues, most of them, is their extreme fear of Donald Trump and the Trump base.
I don't think so.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Six Republicans in the Senate voted this afternoon to push the trial started in the U.S. Senate. You know who the five were that they voted and said he could still be impeached even though he's not in office. The sixth one, people are asking on the text line, was Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Not John Kennedy. I'm sure he's not too pleased with his colleague. Cassidy, I believe, is a surgeon. But anyway, he's the sixth Republican. Now, we've been talking the last few days about this guy, Driftin' Dave Ismay. He's a drifter from California, came into town, and now he doesn't even know that East Boston is named East Boston. He thinks it's Eastern Boston, but he wants to shut down all the three-deckers there. And he said a lot of really obnoxious things. This is what he said last month. He makes $130,000 a year on the state payroll. He is the, believe it or not, we have an undersecretary of climate change. Listen to what he said to a bunch of hippies in Vermont.
60% of our emissions that need to be reduced come from you, the person across the street, the senior on fixed income, right? There is no bad guy left, at least in Massachusetts, to point the finger at, turn the screws on, and, you know, break their will so they stop emitting. That's you. We have to break your will. Right? I can't even say that publicly. What I'm trying to say is.
So this guy who's his position is paid for by the taxpayers. He's very concerned about global warming, even though he has multiple speeding convictions, even though he has a private pilot's license, even though his wife is a convicted speeder. He lives in a mansion in Chestnut Hill, but he's very concerned about you, the person across the street, the senior on a fixed income. He has to break your will. He wants to turn the screws on you. Pretty obnoxious, fascistic musings from this bum from California. And today, eight members of the state legislature sent a letter to Governor Baker demanding that this guy be fired. And the person who was the lead letter writer was Nick Baldega. He's a Republican from Southwick in the western part of the state. And he's joining us on the line now. Nick, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
It's good to be with you, Howie.
Has the governor responded?
Not that I've seen yet. We've been checking email regularly, and he hasn't called our office phone or my cell phone, which he has those numbers. So we're not holding our breath. We hope he responds. It's the right thing to do, and we'll be waiting.
Did this just happen?
But do you really think he's going to get, you know, in his press conference Friday when this story broke, he said, no one in my administration should be saying this. You know, and again, that reminded me of the definition of a gaffe in Washington, D.C., which is inadvertently blurting out the truth. And that's what this appears to be. And that's why he hasn't been fired already, because he's telling the truth. That's what they want to do. They want to turn the screws on the working classes of Massachusetts. They want to break our will.
You're absolutely right. When I saw the video, first saw the video, Howie, that my first thoughts were, this guy is delusional, he's disconnected from reality, you know, barbaric comments about targeting seniors living on fixed incomes in Massachusetts. You know, why aren't they targeting the coastal elite flying around the world, you know, one or two people on a private jet? They want to target senior citizens And if a fixed income in Massachusetts usually means they're collecting Social Security. So they want to go after people collecting Social Security, heating their homes, and that's how we're going to solve the climate crisis here in the Commonwealth. I mean, I couldn't think of anything further from reality. And the fact that this guy's not gone already is a major issue.
I don't think Charlie Parker's running for re-election, but Karen Polito's going to be seeking the governorship in 2022 if he's not running. I mean, how does she justify this? I mean, this is basically this illustrates. I wrote a column that's already up on the website for tomorrow's Herald. This basically proves what TCI is all about, the Transportation Climate Initiative. They keep saying it's only 5 to 9 cents, but they really want to raise the gas tax 38 cents per gallon on top of the 24 cents that already exists. And that's how they're going to break the will and turn the screws on people who work for a living.
You're absolutely right. There's no way to justify this. So there's no response that can be given if this guy is still working in their administration. We obviously know exactly what he's thinking going forward. Probably this is some grand plan they have over the next decade to really, like, you know, the quote to this guy, break your will, turn the screws on. This has got to be some sort of plan that they're, you know, putting forward to target people living on fixed incomes. And it's just amazing that this is what they really think is going to solve the climate crisis in Massachusetts or globally. But the fact is, I don't know how you target people living on fixed incomes. There's nothing to target. If you're targeting people living on fixed incomes, they're going to be out on the street if you make it any more expensive for them in the Northeast as it already is. So I was glad that we could get a handful of reps to sign on to this. And like I said, I just couldn't believe that someone would go out on a video call and say something like this publicly. And, you know, like you said, he even admitted to the fact that he shouldn't be saying this publicly. But obviously this is something that he is willing to put forward and really focus on over the next number of years, is making the cost of living in Massachusetts unbearable for people living on fixed incomes and senior citizens.
And this is a guy who has in the past, we don't know if he has it now, but he's had a private pilot's license. And he didn't even bother to get his car inspected after it was rejected for emissions problems, apparently. He's got multiple speeding tickets. But he wants to shut down senior citizens and the people next door, whoever they are, from driving their cars and heating their homes.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, with your inspection sticker, with your emissions, this is one of the things that, you know, if somebody wants to walk the walk, well, there you go. You know, get your inspection sticker. If you think that your car needs an inspection sticker because of its emissions, well, why isn't this guy doing it? Why isn't he leading by example when it comes to these things? Why isn't he living in a, you know, I don't know what size house he has, but why isn't he living in a much smaller house to reduce his carbon footprint, to walk to work every day? Why does he even have a car, right? I mean, these are some of the things that he could do himself to target and basically combat the climate crisis we're facing here in the Commonwealth. Why isn't he leading the way?
We're talking to Representative Nick Boldega. He put together this letter saying to the governor, saying he should fire him. How about the fact, though, that, you know, you've only got a handful of Republicans and you've only got one Democrat who's willing to sign this? I thought the Democrats were the party of the people next door and seniors on fixed incomes. Why aren't they up in arms about this?
Yeah, you're right, Howie. It was kind of eye-opening that you know, there wasn't an outcry from the legislature in its entirety about these comments that this individual made, really targeting, you know, and his comments were absolutely targeting our neighbors next door, our family members living on fixed incomes, our state's most vulnerable residents, the senior citizens living on fixed incomes. The fact that the entire legislature didn't say that this was unacceptable, you know, I think it's eye-opening, but I think it's really what, like you mentioned, this climate bill that was just put forward in the last couple of weeks twice by my colleagues across the aisle. I think this is something that they are absolutely focused on over the next number of years, is perhaps, you know, turning the screws on our most vulnerable residents in the Commonwealth and making the cost of living, you know, skyrocket on people and breaking their will when it comes to wanting to drive their gasoline-powered car to their job where they're making minimum wage. You know, this could be what their plan is over the next number of years, and I hope not, because it's going to really be a detriment to the working-class people of the Commonwealth.
Now, how about the other YouTube video, and I assume there may be others. The Mass Fiscal Alliance is looking for others, but we found one down the Herald from last August. He's speaking to another group of goofballs about climate change, like he's Mr. Big, and he's talking about three deckers, triple deckers, and he's talking about how they have to be retrofitted, and he says, "I'm not threatening," and then he says, these are in Eastern Boston. He doesn't even know what the hell communities he's talking about, and he's threatening to basically put these landlords out of business. And a lot of these landlords aren't even getting their rent paid for the last year. And he's saying, "I'm not threatening them." It's just, it's so appalling. And the governor is okay with it. He's on board, and so's the lieutenant governor.
Yeah, the issue is, you and I know exactly what's going to happen when, you know, if they try to put pressure on people to, basically retrofit three deckers that are being rented to people who are trying to make ends meet. The landlord has no option but to pass it on to the renter. So what's going to happen is all these stretch codes they want to do, all these things they want to force landlords to do who are barely making ends meet as it is, who aren't getting the rent paid right now, they're going to have no choice but to increase rent. People aren't going to pay, and what you're going to see is a housing collapse. So, I mean, this is what we're really looking at right now is, you know, the bureaucrats make the cost of everything so extraordinary that no one can pay these bills, and we're going to look at a collapse going down the road. So people aren't going to be paying their rent. Landlords aren't going to be paying their mortgage, and all of it's going to come crumbling down. We need common sense reforms that aren't going to price people out of their homes.
Where should people go if they want to get the message to the governor or to their legislators that this guy's got to go?
I think you can go on the Mass Legislature's website. You type in your address, you find your legislator, you tell them to sign on to the letter. You have people call the governor's office, call the lieutenant governor's office, and just really, you know, go to your legislator and tell them, hey, listen, we want this guy to go. We don't believe that we need to break the backs of our neighbors and our senior citizens and the state's most vulnerable populations. This guy needs to go. This isn't the message we want. Contact your legislators, contact the governor, lieutenant governor, and tell them to get rid of this guy.
Okay, Representative Nick Baldega, thanks for doing this letter, and thanks to your six Republican colleagues and your lone Democrat colleague, Colleen Yeary. If you had asked me this morning, is there's going to be one Democrat who signs on, I would have said her name, and I think you would have too, right?
Yeah.
I just wish there were more.
Colleen's a common sense person that fights for her district.
Yeah. Okay, Nick Baldega, keep us informed, and the minute you hear... when the phone don't ring, you'll know it's Governor Baker. But if he does call you, please get back in touch with us instantaneously. Thank you. Lord. Eastern Boston. Watch out if you're living in Eastern Boston and you own a three-decker. This guy, the Drifting Dave Ismay, is coming to put you out of business.
Eastern Massachusetts and a lot of maybe the most challenging, both a lot of the least challenging buildings, if you talk about newer residential, are in Eastern Boston.
Eastern Boston. It's always been a problem area. February is recognized as American Heart Month, but talking about supporting heart health isn't enough. Nearly half of all U.S. adults have heart health concerns. Many of us have relatives, close family members who've died of heart disease, or it's made the last days of your life or their lives more painful. You want to keep your heart in good condition as best you can. And one way to do that is getting plenty of exercise, keeping your weight down, and using this product that I hold in my hand right now. If you're on social media, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're great. Just two Super Beats Heart Chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need every day. They're wrapped in foil like a piece of candy. They taste good, but they're not bad for you like a chocolate wrapped in foil. They're great for you. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. In addition to a healthy diet and exercise, supplementing your efforts with Super Beats Heart Chews to your daily routine is a healthy, easy decision to support healthy blood pressure and heart health.
This is very easy habit to maintain, Howie, because it's they're just so good. You look forward to taking them every day. You're looking at your watch saying, is it time for my Super Beats yet?
I have one when I go out in the morning, and I've been having them now when I read this instead. Are you going to see me? If you're on social media, you're going to see me eating one of these immediately after I finish the spot. They're great, and they make you feel better. What's better than that? And it's good for your heart. Now, when you buy a bag of Super Beats Heart Chews, you get a second one for 50% off plus free shipping when you make your purchase at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. superbeatsradio.com/Howie. You don't need to go to Amazon or Walmart. Go to superbeats.com/Howie and you'll get a good buy on them. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Show. On the radio and on the big screen, twice.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Howie Carr is back.
Get simple recipes and fresh, pre-portioned ingredients delivered to your door contact-free with HelloFresh. For a limited time, go to HelloFresh.com and use code Howie10. For 10 free meals, including free shipping from America's number one meal kit. It's great stuff. That's code Howie10 for 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com. I recommend the mozzarella burger, my current favorite. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will most public schools reopen 5 days a week before the end of this school year?
The more I think of it, the more I realize what a ridiculous question that was, Taylor.
Yeah, we really overestimated.
Once we listened to the Jen Psaki cut, we realized.
Yeah, once we did the math on
this. We were goofballs.
Yeah. 20% say yes, they will be open.
Those 20% haven't done the math like we did earlier in the show. That's all I can say. They say they're going to open 50% of the schools, and by open they mean one day a week. So you do the math. If 50% are open one day a week, that means 90% of the school classrooms will not be open anytime, right? All right. 844-500-4242. We're going to take some calls on these. This guy Ishmay Driftin' Dave, I call him. He's a drifter, so we're going to call him Driftin' Dave. And again, he's going to be the poster boy for TCI, their attempt to raise the gasoline tax, the state gasoline tax, from 24 cents to 62 cents. It could go as high as 62 cents per gallon. And that doesn't include the 2.6 cents that they use for the underground fuel fee per gallon. And then there's a 17, 18 cent federal tax. So, and this is all at the same time they're shutting down all the oil and gas leases on federal property. They've shut down the Keystone Pipeline. So the price of gasoline is going through the roof, and Charlie Parker and Driftin' Dave and Pay to Play Polito want to more than double the gas tax. So this is what the eight reps, seven Republicans, one Democrat, said. Let us be perfectly clear. These comments are callous, insensitive, and point to a major insurmountable disconnect between this appointed member of your administration and the way and the very public he is supposed to be serving. In the midst of this terrible pandemic with record unemployment plaguing our state and major economic upheaval threatening our very way of life, the last thing this administration should be doing is turning the screws on seniors on fixed income and the person across the street. Undersecretary Ismay's comment that I can't even say that publicly clearly point to his own self-awareness of the immoral and indefensible position of his point of view. The general public is lucky to have an opportunity to glean insights into his true feelings on these issues before further harm could be done. Trucker Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Trucker Jason.
Hey, Howie, coming to you live from upstate New York. I was telling Taylor, anyways, about how you were talking about schools, and what I got a kick out of is, even though Janet Mills has done a poor job, Miss Lawrence School has been doing in-learning class, and when they get so many cases, they basically do go to remote learning, but they've been letting kids go back to class. And
that's what they got to do. These blue states are insane for not letting them come back to school. Thanks for the call. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242-917. Please don't let this issue distract you from covering the impeachment. If people do receive an education, they may become smart enough to know they're being lied to. Covering this quote-unquote trial is like covering a professional wrestling match, you know? I mean, it requires a suspension of disbelief that I'm really not willing to waste my time or your time on. Maybe we'll get to it later on when they actually produce the other side of the story, but I'm not going to let this. They're talking the personal side of the story. Oh, the personal side of the story. Oh, AOC. She was so concerned. She was worried. She wasn't even in the Capitol, but she was so worried. Oh. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Howie, I was wondering what you thought of the possibility that since they chased everyone off the MBTA and all the train lines and they decimated the economy, this is the only way they're going to get people back on the trains and the buses, if they raise the tax rate. I mean, I'm thinking the long game. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit for chess, but...
That's one theory. This guy Driftin' Dave used to work for the Conservation Law Foundation, and they're demanding that that all the service cuts of the MBTA be restored. But Mike, why should they restore all these empty trains? The commuter rail is only running at under 10% capacity. The subway lines, rapid transit, are running at like 60 to 75% down. The buses are 50% down. Why should they restore all these lines? You know what it is? It's just a big welfare program for the people who work on the MBTA.
I got news for them. All the commuters from New Hampshire, they're going to stay here, and we got a lot of Massachusetts people coming up and becoming New Hampshireites because they've seen the writing on the wall, and they're leaving before the wall falls on them. So I think that they're headed for a massive collapse because office buildings, everything, they're going to be empty for a while, particularly if they don't wake up and smell the coffee.
I know.
They're done.
And coming down the road, beyond this, turn the screws on them and break their will with this more than doubling of the gasoline tax that Charlie Parker's dreaming of. They're gonna talk about the so-called millionaires tax. They're gonna raise the income tax from 5% to 9%, supposedly only on millionaires, but it's gonna be on everybody ultimately, and that's gonna lead to another massive exodus of taxpayers. The Pioneer Institute study that we had Greg Sullivan on, the former Inspector General, to discuss last week. In the past few years, they've lost $20 billion in income just leaving the state. 46% of that $20 billion went to Florida, and 26% went to New Hampshire. And the rest went to Maine, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, mainly places that don't have an income tax. Thanks for the call, Mike. Session, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Session.
Howie, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Howie, I went to the Super Bowl. I was in Tampa yesterday, came back here. And
Session, hold on. You're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. I've been checking the video. You were not wearing a mask. You were having a beer with Governor DeSantis. Turn yourself in.
Yeah. You won't believe, the people are enjoying life. It was so full of life in Tampa, Florida. And here, come back here to the frozen Arctic in Boston, okay? And do you know that the Iowa governor has removed the mask mandate?
I saw that. Governor Reynolds. Governor Reynolds.
Yeah.
Why can't we get a governor like Reynolds? And DeSantis is the best, though. Session, isn't it amazing? Yeah. Coming back to Massachusetts now, it must be what it was like to go into East Germany after you'd been in West Germany.
Exactly. I felt like that. Yeah, it's very depressing when coming back. Yeah, almost like a jail, going back to jail.
Wow. And if you go to UMass, you are in a jail. They've turned the dorms into jails. And if you escape, they won't. No one will take you in, even if you paid to be in the gym. It's just amazing. Thanks for the call, Session. I hope you had a good time at the Super Bowl. Isn't it? It's so nice. I'm sorry. I don't want to rub it in. It's nice to be in Florida. Daniel, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Howie. Not to change the subject or anything, but it's about John Kerry. You know, he's married to that Heinz lady. She owns Heinz, and they own Kraft cheese. And think about the enormous amount of plastic that's sitting in the bottom of the ocean because of the products
right
that they make.
Think about his carbon footprint. They own five mansions, I think. They own one on the top of Beacon Hill in Boston. They own one on Martha's Vineyard. They downsized from Nantucket. They own one in Georgetown. They own one in one of the exclusive suburbs in Pittsburgh, where the Heinz fortune is based. And they own one in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, they used to make a lot of their products out of glass. Now it's all plastic. And don't they use, isn't that a byproduct of oil?
Yes, it is, Daniel. These are inconvenient truths, you're saying. I think they sold out a lot of the Heinz products, but they're still worth $1 billion. He also has a yacht. You know, the yacht was built in New Zealand. He may have gotten rid of that yacht and downsized, but that's the yacht that he registered in Rhode Island to beat the excise tax on the island of Nantucket. And he also has a private jet, the Flying Squirrel, which he's owned for 15, 16 years, or his, again, as I always say, his second wife's first husband's trust fund. I mean, they none of these people care. I mean, this guy, Driftin' Dave, he's a private pilot. Do you know private pilot? I didn't know this till yesterday. They don't only use jet fuel, which is, you know, I mean, I don't care. I love being on a private jet on the rare occasions I've been on one. It's nice. It's nicer, obviously. But those small planes use leaded fuel. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call. Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Howie, brother. How you doing?
Good.
We got to do something to get Baker out of there. Him and his lieutenant governor and that new joker that came from California. We got to do something to get him out now.
I don't know how you get him out, though, you know? What are you going to do? I mean, you know, even if you got rid of both of them, you'd have Bill Galvin, who I like personally, the Secretary of State, but he's one of the people who filed this bill to make mail-in voting permanent. I mean, I don't know who you go with, Frank. I'm in favor of getting rid of Baker, though. I mean, this is just disgraceful what they're doing. They've ruined the state with their hysterical overreaction to the seasonal virus, and now they're gonna try to push through this more than doubling of the gasoline tax from 24 cents to 62 cents per gallon. This is a guy, I keep repeating it, he was elected in 2014 riding the coattails of the anti-automatic gas tax increase that the legislature had passed. That's how he won the governorship. Attaching himself to that referendum question. The referendum question prevailed by thousands, tens of thousands more votes than he did over the worst candidate in Massachusetts history, Marsha Coakley, as Patches Kennedy called her, Evelyn Murphy. Marsha. Thanks for the call, Frank. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Rocky, go ahead.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to ask you a couple of quick things. I mean, with all this going on, the country's being ruined by these people on the left. How does things work down the road if you own a business and you take in $2 a day, but you have to spend $5 a day? You're not going to last very long. So how are we going to survive, not just in this state? Do we just keep printing money? Sooner or later, the dollar means nothing, and China's
right.
yen
right.
takes over, and
right.
we're useless. We're a puppet. We're a puppet to China, basically.
Right. Well, I mean, isn't that where we're headed now? The fact that the Chinese have paid the Biden crime family, all these millions, if not billions, of dollars.
This Howie, there's nobody at the top anymore to get to protect us. You know, other than the Second Amendment, I mean, you know, years ago, you ran to your father, somebody hits you, and they go to the cops, and they arrest the person. Now the corruption is, it's rampant. It's just everybody's buddy-buddy, and they owe everyone each a favor and this and that. Where's this going?
I, Rocky, I don't know the answer to that question. You know, I don't know where it's going. I mean, I just hope that, you know, we haven't lost the franchise. I hope we can regain control and stop this, this, what did they call it? The fortifying of the election, as Time Magazine called it. And the deep state assuring itself of the proper outcome. And, you know, he's right, too, about the criminal justice system here. Everything is fixed now. There, this impeachment trial is a good indication of it. They have no power to do this, but they're doing it. And the judge, Patrick Leahy, who's, you know, he's almost as bad off mentally as Joe Biden. He's the judge, the presiding officer of the trial, and he's also a juror. How does that work? I mean, I know it's not technically a criminal or a civil proceeding, but I don't think the founding fathers, or going all the way back to Magna Carta, thought that it was a good idea for the judge to be a member of the jury, too. Newt Gingrich had it right. Can we hear that cut one more time? That's one of the best cuts of the day. This was Newt Gingrich last night talking about the trial, cut 28.
Now, how can you have a judge, quote, judge, who's already announced that he's for conviction? This is like a Western movie where the mob wants to lynch somebody and the judge is sitting there drunk saying, oh, go ahead, boys. This has no resemblance to a real trial. It is a mock trial, and it's pathetic.
Absolutely correct. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm always looking at a screen, now more than ever. And whether you're an avid news watcher, which I am less and less, or in serious need of a distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. But one of my favorite ways to rest my eyes and still get the content I'm itching for is by putting in my Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great. You know, like a podcast. Podcasts are great if you can't take any more of the BS from the impeachment trial or any of the other nonsense that's going on, spreading COVID panic around the clock. Go and take in some history on a podcast, or listen to some really good music. And you know what? You don't have those dangling wires coming out of your ears that make you look like a goofball. Raycons are great. I use them in the early morning hours when I'm on my bike ride. Tomorrow I'm going to be listening to 30 Days in the Hole by that great English band. And I'm going to, you know why I'm going to be listening to that? Because the state police officer, Brian Erickson, is going to be coming up for his next hearing, because he's doing 10 days in the hole right now.
Is he allowed to have Raycons in where he is?
You know what? I don't think they are. We're going to find that out tomorrow.
That's
you and
shame.
I are both going to be watching.
They're so concealable, though. They wouldn't even be able to tell he's got them in his ears.
I wonder if his estranged wife would bring them to him, or his estranged girlfriend. Anyway, Raycons are built to perform anywhere and any time. With water and sweat-resistant construction and Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. And with enough battery life for 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways. I'll bet Sergeant Erickson wishes he had some right now. He'll be listening to the show. We're talking about him. His ears could be burning. With a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. The best part, Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone with wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for my listeners, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Howie. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center. The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Jennifer, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment about the schools reopening. I really feel that it should be in the hands of the parents It should be in the hands of the local legislation, not in the teachers' unions. You know, our kids are suffering, and I actually pulled two of my girls out of school, and I'm homeschooling now.
Really? They're not going back, even when the schools reopen?
Nope. We're done. We're done with the public school system. My oldest, he's 15. We kind of left it up to him, and of course, he needs that social interaction. So we allowed him to stay in the public school system. It was something that, you know, we discussed as a family. But my two youngest, they're being fully homeschooled, and I feel more comfortable with it. And I feel like their education is like better. I feel like the quality is better.
Yeah.
So
It couldn't be much worse than you're getting in a lot of these public schools now. But the one thing I always worried about, you know, when people would tell me, even when I had my kids in public schools and when they were younger, I always worried about the socialization process. You know, the things, not that you learn in the classroom, because, again, as I say, increasingly you don't learn anything in the classrooms, but you just have to learn to get along with people, don't you? Do you get that in a homeschooling situation?
Well, fortunately, we live in a neighborhood that's kind of close-knit, and we've got a lot of kids here. So I'm not really worried about that aspect of things because my kids are very close with their friends here. So I guess I'm fortunate in that aspect of it, but, you know, a lot of parents aren't. But from what I understand, there is a huge amount of people who are now resorting to homeschooling because of the situation that we see.
In California, for example, 155,000 students have disappeared from the public schools. 155,000. I mean, I know it's the biggest state in the union, but that's a hell of a big number, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that one thing that kind of sucks about the kids who are left in the public school system is their education, the quality is depleted. You know, you've got kids that are just not showing up for their, you know, virtual meets and stuff. There's parents who have to work. Thank God I have a husband who makes money. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there who can't sit at home with their kids all day.
I know. I understand. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing that for your two daughters, Jennifer. Thanks. 413 says UMass is telling kids with jobs not to go and to sign up for unemployment. Well, I guess that's some hands-on type education, you know? That's what you call vocational training. Sign up for unemployment. You know what, kids? You're not going to get a job when you get out of your gender studies four-year Bachelor of Arts program here anyway, so you might as well get an early start. It's like being an intern. Get onto unemployment early. God. So what about the people who actually have to work in Hampshire County and Amherst, Massachusetts? So these kids that are working as waiters or waitresses or at the 7-Eleven or at the gym, so they're going to be gone. They're not going to be working anymore. Okay. We'll just print some more money. But the Commonwealth can't print money. You have to get it from the federal government. What a mess. Meanwhile, under the new statistics, now that the governor of New York has admitted how many people died in nursing homes in New York, it's 14,832. You know, we've been saying that in Massachusetts, one out of every eight nursing home residents has died in nursing homes that are regulated by Charlie Baker. He's now been topped by Andrew Cuomo. One out of every six nursing home patients in New York is dead under Andrew Cuomo. Great governors, contiguous states. I'm Howie Carr.